Do you ever feel stuck, like you're living your life on autopilot? Are you ready to shift into high gear and reach the success you so richly deserve? Welcome to the Play Big Movement podcast. I am your host, Sharon Lecter, entrepreneur, business strategist, and best-selling author. Playing big is not about settling for good enough or being comfortable. It is about reaching your highest potential and achieving your greatest success. Join me in my Play Big movement as I interview top experts in business, money, and entrepreneurship, all ready to serve you and to help you play big, be number one in your field, live your legacy, and create maximum impact. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to this segment of the Play Big movement. And I can't tell you how excited I'm about this because my guest today is truly one of my heroes. I'll give you a little bit of introduction about him, but I just want you to know that I'm excited to have him here and that he took the time to talk to us because his bio is incredibly impressive. He's been a national Olympic weightlifting champion, successful investment broker. He was president of the Emmy Award-winning Narrative Television Network, and that is the network that really brings television to 13 million blind and visually impaired people. And he is a sought-after speaker and author. He's written 40 books, so he beats me with my 22. But I will tell you, one of his books called The Ultimate Gift is actually how I was introduced to Mr. Stovall. I'm so excited that Jim Stovall is with me today. Thank you, Jim, for being with me.
It's always good to be with you, Sharon.
Now, I want all of you to know that I said all of those accomplishments because that's how I got to know him and didn't realize that throughout all of that, he was also blind. And that's something that we talk about adversity and I've shared about my son. You know, it's taking the step you need to play big. And I think the ultimate gift, Jim, is a huge gift to all of us. I think it should be required reading for every parent and every teenager. Because it truly does help understand what we do as parents sometimes to enable our children. And it's just such a gift. And in fact, it was made into an incredible movie with James Gardner and it's Abigail Breslin, yeah. And it was an incredible movie, but I love the book. I buy it in cases to share with people because I really do believe it's an incredible message. So, Jim,
well, as a fellow author, I know you'll agree with me. I've had 8 of my books turned into movies or in the process of being turned into movies, and I always think the books are better. So that's just one blind guy's opinion.
Well, one very important, and you have not certainly let that stop you. I mean, I love the story about when you first discovered it and, you know, sinking into that depth of disparity and then, you know, getting yourself out there. Why don't you share a little bit about the gem that hasn't been shared in your bio?
Well, I grew up here in my hometown, Tulsa, Oklahoma. And as a young man, my only ambition in life was to be an All-American football player and then go make my living in the NFL. And I had the size and speed to do that. And the coaches and scouts and people in that world assured me that it was just a matter of time until my dreams came true. And life was good. I didn't plan for anything else. I didn't have a safety net, a plan B, nothing. And then one day during a routine physical to go play another season of football, I was diagnosed with this condition that caused me to lose my sight. And I didn't know what I was going to do. I had nothing else in my life. Everything was gone. And I moved into this little 9 by 12 foot room in the back of my house and had my radio and my telephone and my tape recorder. And that was my whole world then. And, you know, the thought of running a television network with over 1,000 stations or writing 40 books or speaking to millions of people in arena events or talking to Sharon would have seemed as foreign to me as going to the moon. And I sat there in my little self-imposed prison and only powerful, positive messages and the things that you share with people is what got me out of my little space.
I remember you sharing the story about getting out of your room and going to the mailbox and back was, you know, like your first venture outside. And I just, you know, for all of you watching and listening, you know, Jim had a physical 9 by 12 room, but so many of us create our own little rooms that we hide out in and stay away from society and things that we can accomplish in our lives. And I think that is such, you know, it's such a testament to you, Jim, that you share this story. And certainly it hasn't stopped you. My goodness, what an incredible gift you've given to all of us. Tell me a little bit about the television network, because I think that that's something that is, again, it's a lesson for us to think about. If you're going to do something, do it on a large scale that can really help a lot of people.
Well, I, as you know, because we worked together in the Think and Grow Rich movie, and that was one of the first books someone gave me when I was in my little room, and they brought me an audio book of that. And I listened to that, and one of Napoleon Hill's principles says that every adversity comes with the seed of an equivalent or greater good. And boy, I realized, okay, I'm blind, I'm broke, I'm scared, I'm in this little room I can't get out of. I've got some adversity. And this idiot is telling me that somewhere out there, there's something that is as good as this current situation is bad. And if there was something like that, I want to find it. And if there's not, I want to throw this thing out the window and continue to live my life in my little room. Because, you know, we all have those things. And my problems are no bigger or greater than you or anybody that's in your audience right now. I mean, we're all only as big as the smallest thing it takes to divert us from where we're supposed to be. And, you know, I could have stayed in my little room and most people would not blame me for doing that. I mean, you could have folded up your tent when you lost your son and most people would, you know, really commiserate with you and say, you know, Sharon, I certainly understand why you feel that way, but there's a point where you've got to go on. And I mean, I feel like your son's legacy, part of that is this whole movement you're creating right now, showing other people that beyond their adversity is a huge prize. And it's, you know, I know the depth of despair can be worse than we think, but the ecstasy of the mountaintop is bigger than we imagine.
Oh, that's how beautifully that's said. Thank you so much. I think it is so true. You know, many of us, we say how many times we fall down, as long as we get back up one more time. But when it's us, you know, you feel like nobody else has suffered the way you have suffered until you start seeing and hearing other people's stories and the revelations. And it is absolutely the whole basis of outwitting the devil was that fear, and how fear can paralyze us instead of motivate us. And when you have something like that happen, you do that. It is that little room, that 9x12 room you talk about. Most of us make that room around our head, and we're not willing to, we get into a fetal position and that we let that fear cripple us. And I'm sure, you know, your example is one that's so demonstrative for us because, you know, the lack of sight, but most of us suffer from a lack of vision, and that vision is understanding what is possible for us and taking that next step to create what is really waiting for us. I think we live in a world of abundance, and the most successful businesses do one of two things: solve a problem or serve a need. And certainly you've demonstrated that with everything you've done in your life, with the television network, and then certainly with the books that you've been writing. Tell me this is just a personal question, so I'm so curious. I didn't give you a heads up ahead of time, but where did the ultimate gift come from? How did you come up with that concept? Because I just adore it.
Well, Sharon, I was got out of my little room. And one of the things I had found really frustrating being in my little 9x12 foot room is before losing my sight, that was our TV room. So in my TV room there, I knew as I sat in my chair, blind and broke and scared, across the room is a television and my collection of classic movies. And one day out of just sheer boredom, I put one on and I thought, I've seen this so many times, I'll be able to follow along. And then somebody shot somebody and somebody screamed and the car sped away. And I got really frustrated and I said the magic words. I said, somebody ought to do something about that. And the next time you hear yourself say that, you just had a great idea. And because somebody is you. And so I started the Narrative Television Network, and we are nothing more or less than we take movies and TV shows and educational programs, and we add an extra voice in between the dialogue of the characters to help people hear what they can't see. Well, because of that, I started going out and calling on the TV industry and the movie studios to get them to carry our service. And a lot of people listening to us right now, you know, you're in the world of selling, and selling is always a challenge because you have to deal with adversity and rejection. imagine going out saying, hi, I'm Jim Stovall. I do TV for the blind. And that was a tough, tough sale. Well, we won an Emmy Award for our first year on national television, and I was asked to speak at the National Association of Broadcasters. And I thought, I'm not a speaker, never wanted to be a speaker, but I thought, these are all the people I'm trying to sell our service to, and they're all going to be in one room at one time in one place, so this is just a big sales call to me. So I went to the meeting, and I spoke, and afterwards, two or three people came up and said, would you come speak at my convention? And then more people and more people, and the next thing I know, I'm out on the road speaking, and I found myself on a West Coast tour sandwiched between Robert Schuller and Dennis Waitley on this speaking tour. And one day, Schuller confronted me backstage, and speaking in that Schuller voice, he really talked with, like, my friend Jim, I believe you should write a book. And I thought, you know, I said, Doc, I can't read a book. Why should I write a book? It made no sense to me. But I went out and did my hour in the arena. When I came off, Dr. Waitley was standing there, and he said, hey, while you were out there, Schuller and I worked out all the details. And I said, well, I thought they meant the ground transportation back to the plane. I didn't know what they were talking about. And I said, what'd you guys work out? And he said, well, while you were out there, Schuller called his publisher, and I agreed to write the foreword, and we need your manuscript in about 90 days. So I wrote, that's how I become an author. And I just went back and wrote my story of losing my sight and building a television network and getting the Emmy Award and all the things that have happened to us, and put it out in a book called You Don't Have to Be Blind to See. And I thought that would be my last book. And, well, it started selling well, and they called again and said, we need another book. So I wrote Success Secrets of all the movie stars and celebrities and people I'd interviewed for TV. And then they wanted another book, and I wrote The Way I See the World, and then I wrote a book with Steve Forbes, and I had written everything I knew and only a few things I suspected. I mean, I was scraping the bottom of the barrel. So when they called and they said, we need another book, I decided I'm going to have to make something up here. And there's a lady down the hall here in our office, Dorothy, who's the best editor and grammarian in the business, and I dictate all my books, my syndicated columns, everything I write, I dictate to Dorothy. And I said, Dorothy, they want another book. And she said, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to make up a story. And so that first day we sat down, I'd never written fiction. And all I had in my mind was the first line of that book, which said it was my 80th year of life on earth and my 53rd year in the practice of the law that I was to undertake an odyssey that would change my existence forever. And Dorothy read that back to me. And I thought, I wonder who said that and what is he talking about? And over the next 5 days here in our office, between my calls and my meetings, I dictated The Ultimate Gift. And it has, there was never an edit, never a rewrite. I think I changed four words of it before it went to the publisher. And that was the beginning of, you know, four books and three movies thus far that have collectively grossed $100 million. I mean, that was the beginning of it. And, you know, if someone told me they were going to do that today, I would think it was absurd. I just didn't know enough to know you couldn't do that.
Did you hear that? So it was taking the opportunity to create it. And, you know, I love that. I love that story. When we first, because Rich Dad Poor Dad today is, we never changed it either. We actually wrote that book intending it to be a marketing pamphlet, right, for the game Cash Flow. And, you know, the world said, no, it's a brand in itself. We thought our brand was Cash Flow, and the world said, no, your brand is Rich Dad. So you do have to listen to your audience and pay attention to that. But sometimes, you know, when something comes from the heart, it's real. It's very real. And that story, it hugely impacted me, and I think hundreds of, you know, millions of lives around the world, because it really is about the thought of what we're doing to our kids, you know, mm-hmm. capitalism. And, you know, capitalism is good, but it's got a dark side, and it's got, you know, the enabling and spoiling our kids. And it's such a great, if you've not read The Ultimate Gift, get it today, because it will open your eyes. And it's a great gift for parents and teenagers and college students, for them to understand before they get themselves out in the world and into tons of debt. Let them understand the value of every day. And I know, actually, the first time I heard about it, Jim, was it was being used by, I believe it was Robert Baird. You know, so many of the financial planners were using it as a way to have community events and do a book review. And that's how I actually first heard about it, through Robert Baird.
That book has taken on a life of its own. It's taught in middle schools all across the country. But, I know that copies have gone to the White House and the Vatican and, you know, the CEOs, but also 10-year-old kids are reading the book. So it's been an amazing blessing to me to find that fiction voice. And, I mean, you have a skill that very few people in our generation ever have. You know, you can not only find your voice, you find other people's voices. And that's what amazes me. You can turn into Rich Dad. You can turn into the devil when you're outwitting the devil. And someday when we're not on the air, you can tell me what it was in Sharon's background that made you be able to so well get in touch with the devil when you were writing the book. Probably not for publication at this point. But, I believe that, our mission in life is to find our gift, and our calling is to give it away. And if you can find your voice and use it to help other people, you'll have everything you ever wanted in life. And it's just that simple. I mean, and everybody out there listening to us right now, they have a gift. If you'll find your gift and figure out a way to give it away, you'll change the world and change your life forever.
I want to highlight what you just said. Our mission is to find our voice.
Yeah.
Our calling is to give it away.
Absolutely.
Wow. I love that, Jim. That's fantastic. I think that's something for all of us to reflect upon. And, you know, sometimes we need to have a wake-up call. We need to have that adversity to make us realize what we need to be grateful for, and the fact that there is that positive side and the opportunity to recover from it and give back. I mean, it took me a long time after losing my son, because I was highly successful, and so I could just coast and still be busy. I was right. Certainly busy, but I wasn't playing big like I had before. And I've shared this story with the audience before, but it's like this last year when I was thinking of maybe even just retiring, because it wasn't fun anymore, because I was just being reactive, not proactive. And it was that realization and exactly what you just said, Jim, this entire new movement, this new branding is in honor of my son, because I can hear him up there saying, get over it, Mom, get back to work. And that's, we're going to be doing that in this podcast. I'm honored, so excited to have you as one of my first guests, Jim, because you really are the epitome of playing big and realizing that if you're out there to solve a problem, why not solve it in a big way and support those that are in need? So tell everybody how they can find you and what's next on, is there a new initiative that we want to hear about from you?
Yeah, you can always find me, Jim Stovall, Stovall, jimstovall.com, and pick up. I have 10 million books in print. My phone number and email address is in the back of all of them, and I return all my calls and answer all my emails, so I'm not that hard to get to. I just started writing a series of books. I'm on the third one now, and they're called Homecoming Historicals. They take place at modern-day high schools, but the namesake of the high school gets involved, so you get a historical perspective. The first one is called One Season of Hope and takes place at a Harry Truman High School, about a little kid dying of cancer that wants to play his last season of football. And then the next one takes place at a fictitious Napoleon Hill High School, and it's called Top of the Hill. And it's these kids facing a crisis, and they have to figure out if Hill's success principles really work. And right now I just finished writing about Will Rogers, called Will to Win, about a young lady who deals with a tremendous amount of adversity and finds out that young ladies can compete with young men and succeed. And it's not a man's world. The world belongs to anybody with the spirit and the motivation to go do what they're called to do. And it's called Will to Win. And all three books have been optioned for a movie. So we're working on that. And that's kind of turned into a thing. So those are kind of the next big things.
All right, now when will those be published?
They are out now. One Season of Hope is out right now. Okay. And Top of the Hill came out about the first year. So those two are available right now. Top of the Hill and One Season of Hope.
Well, I'm going to get those right away, because I love everything that you do. And if you haven't read The Ultimate Gift, I can't say it enough, because it is absolutely one of my most all-time favorite, right up there next to Think and Grow Rich. So I'm sure I'll love Top of the Hill as well. And it's all about understanding that, you know, sometimes messaging is timeless. Even though Think and Grow Rich came out in 1937, it's as relevant today as it was back then. And it's the success principles that can really help us fine tune our brain, you know, because all of us, we get wayward in our thinking. In Outwitting the Devil, they called it drifting.
Yes.
Into this world of, you know, following other people's advice or being comfortable. You know, one of the things I've been talking lately, Jim, is I talk about people when we were young and little kids, we're creative and curious, and we go to school and we're taught a certain amount of conformity. And so through school, some of that's important, but we sometimes go overboard and we get out into our career and become comfortable.
Yes.
And that comfort sometimes can become complacency. And then we have a crisis and our life gets chaotic. And how do we get out of it? We bring back curiosity and creativity.
And absolutely.
I love what you're writing, because I think that's, you know, your creativity and your curiosity is bringing tremendous value, because I think a lot of people today learn better through parables and through stories. So I'm really excited about this new series, and I'll look forward to getting an elbow deep and reading it. I think it's fantastic. So from a standpoint of the concept of playing big, I would love to hear what your thoughts are for our audience.
Well, I don't care who you are, what you do, or what adversity you faced in your life, that your best days are ahead. I don't care what it is. I mean, you're still here, so it means you have more to do, and it's bigger and more grand and wonderful and life-changing for people around the world than you can imagine. And, you know, the biggest limitation to what we do is ourselves. And, you know, we worry about what everybody else thinks about us, when really the only opinion that matters is the one we have of ourselves. And I hate to be the one to come on your show, Sharon, and tell you the bad news, but life isn't fair. Bad things happen to good people. And we don't always get what we want or need or earn or deserve, but we will forevermore get what we expect. And if you'll be really honest with yourself right now, listening to me around the world, if your life personally or professionally isn't turning out the way you want it to right now, if you'll really be honest, you're just about where you expect it to be. But you can sit right where you're sitting right now, listening to Sharon, and you can change your life by changing your mind. You know, and if you will make that decision right now and say yes to your biggest dream you ever had in your life, you may not know how to do it, when to do it, where to do it, who to do it with, where to get the money. Those are details. But the world belongs to the man or woman that will dust off that 20-year-old dream and say, yes, I'm going to do that. That is worthy of me and worthy of my time here on this planet. And if you'll make that decision, 20 years from now, you'll remember this moment. You won't remember me or Sharon or anything else, but you'll remember that's the day I decided to play big, go all out, and really see what this can do, really see what's possible. And if you will do that, you will never be disappointed. But if you give the world and your dream and your calling anything less than that, you will always be disappointed. And you will always think, what if I'd have done that? If, you know, because after today, you'll never be able to say again, I didn't have a chance. Just say yes to that big dream in that little voting booth in the middle of your soul that only you and God know about. And if you'll vote yes for yourself, you'll find out he voted yes for you a long time ago. And
all changes. That is so wonderful. And ladies and gentlemen, hit rewind and re-listen to what Jim just said in the last 3 minutes, because that is, I mean, it is so true. And you have the opportunity to vote yes. I mean, we are all where we are today because of the choices we made before today. And we have every opportunity to make different choices today moving forward, and to realize that you are here for a reason, and people are waiting to hear from you, and people are waiting to learn from you. So I just from the bottom of my heart, Jim, I thank you. You are really a hero to me, and I'm so thrilled and honored to know you. And I look forward to the opportunity for more times when we can be together.
I look forward to it, and I'm so grateful you're playing big and you're making a difference, because you're going to change the world one person at a time.
Well, thank you, Jim. I got tears in my eyes. I'm so excited. Thank you so much. And I want to really repeat, every one of you, listen to this again. The wisdom from Jim is incredible and can help you take the next step. So thank you so much for listening to the show. Thank you, Jim. Love you all. We'll next time. Thank you for listening to this segment of the Play Big Movement podcast. Please subscribe to iTunes and leave us a review, as well as join us in other areas of social media, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn at Sharon Lecter, and for Facebook, author Sharon Lecter. Thank you so much and have a fabulous day.